Welcome to the Sales Squared Podcast, your destination for leveling up in sales, marketing, and business development.
Dollar dollar bill, y'all.
Join us to hear real entrepreneurs with real experiences, engaging with real experts from the world of sales, business, and entrepreneurship. And now for another Sales Squared Value Bomb.
Hey everyone. So today we have got a special guest who is a blockchain expert, Mr. Ali Agha from Ellipsis Technologies. So Ali is the CEO over there. And basically Ellipsis are a group of cryptographers and blockchain developers. So doing some really, really innovating things in this space right now. So Ali, hello, thanks for joining me today. Tell us a little bit about Ellipsis. What are you guys up to over there?
Thanks for having me on. So at Ellipsis, we're a technology development firm. We focus primarily on blockchain technology. The firm is split into two segments. One segment is a services firm. So we work with some of the largest companies in the world to help them develop blockchain technology for their own products and their own businesses. And then we have a labs where we kind of create our own products, take those products to market.
Awesome. So blockchain is kind of a buzzword right now in the industry. So it's getting talked about a lot. I think a lot of people kind of heard of it from Bitcoin and sometimes kind of get confused between the two. You hear a lot of people kind of talk about investing in blockchain or talking about it as kind of a cryptocurrency itself, but it's not,
right.
Yeah. But what blockchain is, it's kind of the underlying technology under cryptocurrencies, right? So explain to us, Ali, what really is the difference between blockchain and Bitcoin and other kind of cryptos?
So blockchain, Bitcoin, these are questions I get every single day. My mom still thinks I work in cryptocurrency or something to do with Bitcoin. I'm like, no, mom, I have nothing to do with that. You know, she'll call me and be like, hey, the market's down. What's going on? I'm like, no, mom, that doesn't even affect my business. I have nothing to do with that. So blockchain and Bitcoin. Bitcoin is just one application of blockchain. Mm-hmm. So essentially what you can do is you can think of blockchain as a distributed ledger. You can think of it as a database that's distributed all over the world across millions of people's computers. That's the general premise. Mm-hmm. So the most obvious use case for that would be a currency or some unit of ledger, right? Mm-hmm. Because that really takes advantage of the base premise of what a blockchain is. But more broadly, in terms of blockchain itself, the best way to think about blockchain is trust. Blockchain creates the only trusted space that doesn't require an intermediary for the first time in basically human history. Mm-hmm. So it's really, really quite powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one thing that kind of struck me when we first kind of spoke, Ali, was your real passion for decentralization in the space. So talk a little bit about more what you kind of mean by decentralization and why is it so important to you to achieve that for companies and industries?
Well, the way that the modern world has developed has been off of centralization. And, you know, Cameron, things have moved so quickly in the past 40, 50 years. I mean, hell, in the last 3 years, things have moved quickly, right? Mm-hmm. Technology is going at this breakneck speed. And as a global community, as a species, we never took the chance to step back and say, what are we really doing here? Who really controls the levers of power in all these systems that we take for granted every day? If that's our financial systems or that's our banking system. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's even our identification of how we represent ourselves in society. We never took a step back and to address these issues. Mm-hmm. And so our technology developed around centralization. And that really worked. You know, it was good for our early development. It allowed technology to get pushed out there quickly. Mm-hmm. I believe that blockchain technology and more generally DLT technology, that means decentralized ledger technology, mm-hmm. will cause a revolution in disintermediation. No longer have to trust the traditional sources of truth, like your bank, like the government. So for example, let's take those examples. So right now, you go to the bank to store your money, right? Mm-hmm. The first great use case of blockchain was one we just talked about, Bitcoin, right? Mm-hmm. Bitcoin proved out the early case for not needing to go to any central authority to manage your money. When you have Bitcoin or any other cryptocurrency, you are essentially your own bank. And that's extraordinarily radical, right? Mm-hmm. You're not paying fees to any centralized source. There is no one to control your money. There's no one that can freeze your account. It's all up to you. It's all in your control. Mm-hmm. Another broader use case for blockchain that kind of demonstrates this disintermediation could be your own sovereign identification. In blockchain, sovereign identification is becoming a huge thing. What does that mean, sovereign identification? Mm-hmm. Sovereign identification means how you represent yourself, how you identify yourself. So it's detached from just the identification that you have that says you to your driver's license. It's how you represent yourself and how that representation is confirmed. So for example, Cameron, how do you know that you are Cameron? Mm-hmm. Do you know that you're Cameron because the government's given you some kind of identification that says Cameron on it? Or do you know you're Cameron because I know you're Cameron, mm-hmm. and your family knows you're Cameron?
Yeah.
And your business associates know you're Cameron, your clients know you're Cameron. Those are all much more compelling reasons for why you should consider yourself Cameron, right? Mm-hmm. So you have that web of trust that's already built up around you.
Yeah.
Well, you put that in a technical format and have that attested to on the blockchain. That would be a much more valid way to ascertain and confirm who you are, rather than just a piece of plastic,
yeah.
Has your name on it in a little picture.
Mm-hmm. So it's almost like a way to digitally store your identity without people necessarily having access to, your private data or sensitive data. I think one example that I kind of heard on a YouTube video or a blog or something was when you know, for example, if you walk into a club. And you're a 19-year-old girl, and you give your ID, and the bouncer then has access to your address, your location, your nationality. When in reality, the only thing they need to know is your age, right? Whether it's that specific piece of data. So, what are some of the benefits of not having to give everything about yourself, when you exchange data online or when you exchange data for banking or anything like that? How does blockchain kind of play into that that role?
Right. So that's a great question. We've been talking about in this conversation about how blockchain disintermediates. Another thing it does is it gives control back to the individual. Mm-hmm. In the same sense that there's no intermediary source for you to go through in order to transact Bitcoin, it works the same exact way if you were to create use identity on a blockchain. So if someone was to request information from you, you could tailor what information actually got sent to them. Mm-hmm. And you could control that access because that information really is yours. And you could revoke access to that information. So right now we're living in a world where most of the information that you put out there, that's through your social media profile, that's through advertisers, mm-hmm. that information is recorded from you and then monetized externally. I think that's going to shift now. I think that we're moving into a world where individuals will be monetizing their own private data.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Very interesting. I think it's quite different to kind of what we've experienced. And it's been such a fast kind of paced thing in terms of, you know, today we probably give our information to hundreds of different companies, you know, and we sign up to, you know, some kind of newsletter online, or we sign up for this free offer, or we go into the shop to get 10% discount. We give them kind of all of our information. Those are all kind of things that companies are able to use and monetize and whatnot. So it's really, really interesting kind of how that's playing out and how blockchain kind of comes into that. So building on that point, we kind of understand the benefits for blockchain for an individual. What about a business who's looking to take up blockchain, include it in some of its activities? What are some of the examples of benefits for businesses for blockchain?
That's a good question. So blockchain really comes into use, and it's best when you need to take trust out of the equation. So what are some really common use cases that you want to disintermediate trust? A lot of our clients request supply chain solutions. Mm-hmm. If you have a supply chain and you have a lot of different participants in that supply chain, what you want is an immutable layer that everyone can kind of audit and see what's going on. So for example, if there's a car accident and the auditor, the government auditor, kind of suspects that there might be an issue or defect in the vehicle that might be causing these accidents, mm-hmm. they would be able to be a participant in the supply chain and be able to audit the parts that go into the car, and then track the supply chain down and notice, oh, all the cars with this door handle, for example, I don't know how that happens, but this door handle are involved in this accident. Is there a correlation there? Mm-hmm. Then you can find the exact factory that created that door handle and the exact part of the manufacturing line that the deficit happened. You can mm-hmm. do this in a much more streamlined way than you could right now. Here's another example, and this is probably my favorite example in terms of just supply chain. We'll talk about other ones too if you want. Mm-hmm. The head of technology on blockchain development at Walmart really was having a tough time selling blockchain to his board. And you know blockchain's it's difficult technology to get your head around. Mm-hmm. It's easy to say, why don't we just use a centralized database for that? Because especially we're living in a world where we're not used to thinking that vertically in terms of that decentralization. So what the head of blockchain technology did at Walmart is he put a bundle of bananas on the table and he said, I want you guys to tell me where these bananas came from. And they said, okay, fine, we'll tell you where it came from. It took them about 6 or 7 hours to track down where the bananas actually came from. Mm-hmm. The CTO then took out his phone, scanned a QR code, the label that's attached to the bananas, and he told them immediately where they were from. Mm-hmm. That was the power. That's the power of blockchain. That's what he was trying to demonstrate at that moment.
Mm-hmm. So that's one product. That's just bananas. So if you consider Walmart and all the products that they stock and all of the food items and more that they have within their store, then it's pretty staggering to think how much time can be saved from adopting blockchain in terms of the hours and hours and days that it takes to track something down. And especially if there's some kind of issue. I think there was a massive problem over in the States with the produce, the green produce, where a lettuce mm-hmm. or something caused some serious illness across a number of people who actually consumed it. And if there would have been a blockchain solution in place, that could have been tracked down immediately and halted. But instead, it was probably quite a hard task to try and track down exactly where that came from to stop anyone else from consuming it and getting sick. So I believe Walmart have now made that mandatory, right?
That's correct.
Their suppliers to use blockchain. Yeah, very interesting. So in terms of companies actually installing blockchain solutions into their supply chains, into their businesses, IBM, I believe, are leading the charge quite heavily, and a lot of other companies are starting to invest in this. Ali, when do you think blockchain will be considered common practice in businesses?
I think that we're still a couple years away that it's mainstream. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of businesses will start interacting with blockchains in the next 12 to 24 months without even them knowing it. Mm-hmm. So for example, traceability solutions will become very commonplace in the next year or two, where you'll be able to walk into the grocery store and scan most products and be able to see the origin of those products. Mm-hmm. That'll become really common. I still think we're early on, Cameron. I still don't think that we understand completely what kind of juggernaut this technology is and what this is going to morph into. You know, we started this conversation talking about Bitcoin. Then we went to supply chain solutions and financial technologies, perhaps. But this is going to affect everything. Everything from your personal data to your ride sharing service, to advertising, to all parts of society and every application you can imagine under the sun, this technology is going to touch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the long-term, I guess, vision for blockchain. And, I think we can compare it to things like, you know, the internet. It took quite a while for the internet to actually slowly and slowly kind of seep into society and into businesses, but then suddenly it kind of snowballed and really took off. And I think potentially or almost definitely blockchain has got that same potential, and it's going to be really interesting to see what kind of industries adopt it first and foremost. And I guess a final question, Ali, would be for a business that's considering using blockchain, where are some of the easy ways they can start to kind of dip their toe, get used to it, before looking, you know, how do I scale this technology? How do I really make it a part? Basically, just to start understanding blockchain. Let's say you're a CTO, you're a CIO of a company who, you know, they're looking for that edge. Blockchain's come up in the conversation, but they're not quite sure really what it means, or maybe they're not educated into how it can really affect their business. What would you recommend to someone like that who's looking to get started with a blockchain solution?
Almost every major industry has its own blockchain consortium. So if that's supply chain, if that's identity, if that's advertising, if that's law, they all have their own consortiums. So I would really recommend you get involved with your particular industry's consortiums, mm-hmm. and their groups, their working groups.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Awesome. And I guess for anyone watching this too, Ali, you're always happy to have a conversation about what you guys are up to at Ellipsis. So where can we find Ellipsis online?
You can email me at ali@ellipsis.com. That's ali@ellipsis.com. You can also go to ellipsis.com and check us out there. I'm sure you'll leave the link in the show notes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I think that's a good introduction. I didn't want to kind of bombard the audience too much, getting too in-depth into blockchain. But I think as we go by, we can start to go a little bit more in depth into blockchain and get a little more into the nitty gritty of what that actually means for businesses and how the technology is evolving. So Ali, thanks so much. Really, really enjoyed this conversation. Very, very educational. And yeah, I'm looking forward to see what the future holds in the next 6, 12, 18 months for the evolvement of blockchain technology.
Awesome. Thank you so much for the opportunity.